Hello, I'm Kate McGoey from the Life Skills Programme and welcome to this short podcast. Here at Life Skills, we're committed to supporting schools and colleges to develop students' employability skills and financial capability through our lessons and resources. We've been supporting schools on this journey for over 10 years, and one of the things that we've consistently heard about is the importance of planning and sequencing lessons to really embed these topics across a learner's time in school. Today, I'll be diving into this in a bit more detail with an experienced head of PSHE, Jyoti Petted. Jyoti has been using Life Skills resources for a number of years and has lots of brilliant insights into how to embed these topics and the difference that this has made for learners. And she's going to share some of that with us. Jyoti, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you start by introducing yourself and giving us an overview of your teaching journey? When did you know that you wanted to become a teacher?
Hi, Kate. Thank you for having me. Yeah, so I started teaching in 2008. I actually went to do my PGCE in languages and MFL, focusing on French, but soon after realised that there's a subject. At the time, it was non-statutory subject, PSHE, and started to realise how important this subject was. And yeah, been teaching. I have two children. Took a little bit of a break to raise them, but back in, and I've taught in a variety of settings. So a single sex school, a school that was created from scratch, so a character school, and now I'm teaching internationally in a British international school.
That all sounds absolutely fascinating. What a wide range of experience. And I suppose that wide range of experience gives you a really kind of unique vantage point on the purpose of schooling and the purpose of education, as well as where students go next. It would be great to hear a little bit from you on your kind of your vision of education.
Yeah, I think that education has changed so much. And I mean, like, I've only been teaching since 2008, but since that time, I feel like people are starting to understand and listen to subjects like PSHE or life skills based subjects. But I do think that COVID changed the way that we view young people's education and things to do with mental health, future-proofing our students, giving them real skills that are going to last with them beyond what we teach them in the classroom. And I'm really excited to know that we are preparing our young people. So preparedness is a big conversation in teaching at the moment. And I feel that whereas people would have listened to other subjects before in a more, I'd say, serious way, now people understand that this is a subject that has value and we need to give time on the curriculum and teachers' time to deliver it.
Absolutely. It's fascinating to see how things have evolved and to hear from you a little bit more about the challenges and the opportunities, I suppose, for this kind of learning. And I know you've embedded life skills resources across a number of different schools. It would be great to hear what led you initially to the resources. And I know you've talked a little bit about some of the challenges there, but were there any in particular that you hoped that life skills was going to help you achieve?
Yeah, the first school that I worked in, I became head of department after a couple of years and almost inherited this legacy of fantastic resources. And you look through and you think, oh, that's great. But some things you think, I really want to think about where my students are going to be in 5 years' time. We ask them, you know, where do you want to be? What jobs do you want to do? What skills, you know, what transferable skills? So we kind of use these buzzwords, and I'm not a careers expert, but on the way have gained a qualification in careers and, you know, that you can apply in a school. But I was looking for a resource, and I think it was through a Google search that I came across life skills. And then I started to dip in thinking, oh, we don't have that. Let's see if we've got something on life skills. Also, in that school, we talk about budgets and schools. You don't really have a huge amount of money when you're working in schools. And you can buy into programs, and sometimes you inherit a program that you have a subscription to. And whilst they can fulfill one part, there are sometimes gaps. And so I like to look around and see what's on offer, what do we have, what can we use? Whilst acknowledging what we're using, I think that's really important that to be really transparent with the students. But one thing I really loved about the Life Skills program was that students could have their own login and they could then track where they were or gain points. And it just made it a little bit more interactive. Now, we're talking about a time when iPads weren't really a thing. And now in schools, a lot of students have access to an iPad or they bring their own device into school. So that was a nice thing to have, as a luxury, I suppose, that teachers could have.
That's brilliant to hear. I love how you've gone from it being something, a legacy that, you know, someone sort of left lying around, turning it into something much more thoughtful in terms of your implementation. And we know that teachers are so familiar with thinking about and tracking progression when it comes to academic knowledge. And this approach, I think, is often a little bit less well embedded or less practiced when it comes to skills, particularly employability skills. I'd love to hear your take on that. And I'd love to hear as well a little bit more detail about kind of how you went about starting to use the program in this much more sort of joined up, thoughtful way.
Yeah, I think when you look at a curriculum, as a teacher, you look at the outcomes. What is it that I want my students to leave this lesson with, or the sequence of lessons or series of lessons? And you start to kind of almost work backwards. And one of the things that I found really useful was seeing, okay, if I'm going to be teaching them this, how is this going to be applicable in the real world? And you're right that how do you measure if a student's understood something? It's really, really hard to get something tangible unless they're faced with that situation. So we would do things in tutor, we'd do things on our PSHE lessons, but build towards a day where they would then put these things into practice. So interview skills with real employers who would come into school. So it takes time to build it up. We'd also do some activities where they would then use those skills, but in a face-to-face situation with their peers, and then like a kind of peer way of trialing something. So for example, employability skills, looking at how to come across in an interview. So practice with their peers, giving each other feedback, applying what they've learned in the CV builder, being quite critical with each other. And then all of that practice and building their confidence leads to the day when real employers come in. And like I was saying before, having that practice, which will then be used for a real interview for, say, college or the sixth form, and then hopefully beyond. So I don't actually teach A-level at the moment, but that's going to start. I have done in the past, but things, again, have moved on quite a lot since the early 2010. And I'm really excited of seeing students progress with some of those employability skills, because sometimes it's quite an abstract thing. You talk about a job interview, or, you know, you need to have this and that and these transferable skills, and how do you show good listening, and you need to show your character. But until it becomes real, it can be really tricky for a young person to apply that. So I really value having lessons that show progression, but also I find that when we spiral a curriculum, so you build something in year 7, come back to it maybe in year 8 or even year 9, you're able to go deeper in a topic. And that then becomes more, I would say, real world.
Absolutely. It's so interesting. I love what you're saying about moving from kind of an abstract concept to something that young people can actually recognize that they have and demonstrate. And I love the idea of peer-to-peer interaction as a way to bring that out. I think we've all had these experiences of doing mock interviews with young people, and they say, well, I've got no strengths, I've got nothing to talk about. And when you delve a bit deeper, actually, they've got all this fantastic wealth of experience and knowledge that they don't necessarily recognize as being something of value that the working world would want to hear about and want to know. So yeah, really love hearing about that and kind of how you build that, all driving towards preparing young people to when they leave education. Can you tell me a little bit about the impact then that you saw of using the resources in that way? So having that spiral curriculum and facilitating and bringing together the resources in that way. You mentioned some challenges earlier, for example. Did you start to see that doing this, curating the content in this way, was having a noticeable impact on students?
Yeah, I think at the beginning, when you try something, students think, oh, you know, this is something that our teachers want us to try. And they don't necessarily see that this is a skill. These are skills that will carry through with them through the next few years and beyond. But when they're starting to see that the previous lesson connects to the current lesson, and that they know where they're going, that this lesson will then connect to where they're going to be in a week's time or 2 weeks' time, then I found that in my experience in these various settings, students they buy in. And it's not just the students, it's teachers as well. So often when you're teaching a subject like PSHE, you are given lots and lots of different teachers with different experiences who some really value the subject and others it's kind of an add-on to their additional duties. And when they start to see that this is the stuff that children need, it makes you feel like, this is working. This is what our young people need. And what I've seen are teachers who've been very, very reluctant, like, okay, yeah, I'll do that, not no problem. But they haven't really looked at anything in advance, who are then after a couple of weeks or months, or even after the end of a term, saying, we need more of this. Can we speak to someone in the school who can give our children more of this? They need this because I'm seeing that these skills are then being applied in other lessons. And so the dots start to become joined. And for me, it's so beautiful seeing that as a teacher, because it's almost like things coming together. I often talk to students about a jigsaw puzzle, that it can look like really messy to begin with. But once things start to connect, you see what teachers are also talking about, particularly for skills to do with their character development on creating the person that they want to be. And often I find teachers will say, young people are just not ready. They're just not ready for this. How are they going to be ready for the next step? But if we give them the time and we're very clear with what we're teaching and why we're teaching, they have the opportunity to connect the dots with the support of teachers, and then they see the benefit. And until they see that, then sometimes it can be quite hard for them to become enthusiastic about starting something.
It makes perfect sense. I think it's that idea of knowing why you're doing the thing you're doing and seeing that it then ladders up to the next thing, and seeing that whole path, that whole progression laid out ahead of them. It makes perfect sense that that's what would begin to motivate young people, in that kind of self-efficacy and learning. Yep. Recognizing what they're learning as they're going through. You spoke a little bit there, Josie, about kind of the importance of the buy-in, getting the buy-in from the students themselves, but also from getting buy-in from colleagues and from leadership. And we know that when we want to have this really ambitious approach to skills across the school, we need that buy-in across all levels, essentially. I'd love to hear a little bit about why you think having that whole school approach, that cross-curricular approach, why you think it makes employability skills and financial capability skills as well more effective.
I think you've just said it, the whole school approach is really, really important. When we think about why we're in education, we're talking about building a child, and we've all come into work in a school, whatever role we play, whether we're a leader, whether we are a teaching assistant in the classroom or a middle leader for a subject. We want the best opportunities for our young people. And I feel that if everybody understands that transferable skills can be applied in, well, they're in all subjects. If we know that we're all trying to achieve the same thing in a slightly different way, then the child is still at the heart. When you have events at school, such as parents' evening or assemblies, everything comes back to the child. But it's also about the effort and the background work that goes in from all people across the school. And so in the way that we've done this in previous schools is having someone on leadership. And I was lucky enough to have a deputy head who taught life skills in the personal development lessons, PSHE lessons, and seeing how this lands in the classroom and seeing how the classroom then links in with a pastoral program within the school and how that feeds into a whole year group in terms of their progression from, say, year 7 to year 8 or year 9 and beyond. But it's very important that people see this firsthand. And also, sometimes you have to be in the role that we have in schools. We have to be the person that keeps reminding other people why we're doing what we're doing. So I found that when you've shown how high quality and how easy the resources have been, particularly from life skills, there is a greater cooperation in using them. And one thing that I really do like is just how easy it is and how things are already mapped and you can dip in and out, or it sends you to other places of expertise. This isn't just something that someone's created because, this will do. This is great. This is really, really good. And maths can connect, technology can connect, the pastoral side connects, there's English in there. We've got so many different parts. And that shows that we're all working together.
It's so interesting to hear about kind of how all of this maps together and the value that you see in that and how that really supports kind of the joined up approach across the school. And on that point, JT, you've supported us in the creation of our new suite of schemes of learning, which is now available on the Life Skills website. I'd love to hear a little bit about why you're passionate about building those schemes of learning and how you see it supporting the kind of joined up approach that we've been talking about. And why in particular that's useful for kind of busy teachers to help them plan and embed skills across their delivery.
Yes, Kate, I love the progression map. And I think as a teacher, it's really important to know where we're going with what we're teaching. And if we think about the young people that come into our lessons, it's good to know where they could be coming from if someone else is also following this, but where they should be going and where we are right now. I've worked with a number of colleagues who have only picked up a year group or they only teach a particular key stage, and showing them the progression map is super important because they are able to see where the baton is almost passed and who's picking up where the groundwork has already been done. One thing I really like about the way that we've designed this is that the outcomes are the first thing that we see. Where we believe our young people should be at the end of that lesson or sequence of lessons. Also, the key activities that are going to take place. So we want our lessons to be engaging. We want to have a variety of opportunities for oracy, reflection, critical thinking. And when you have something set out so clearly, especially because we're quite time poor in education, we do want to get something and go with it and develop our thinking as we go through. And I feel that this has been done. And of course, you can go into way more depth, that this is almost like the essential part that our young people should be learning. I really like the way that real world examples are used, because that application, like we spoke about before, is critical for a young person. And if a teacher can see, well, how can I apply this? Then a young person can also see that. And when the time is right, and I've had students come to me to say, oh, a few years ago, we did this lesson, but guess what? I went for an interview and they asked me this question. And you think, wow, I love this. I've had emails or you have a conversation with students, you've got your alumni who come back. And I feel that this just makes it really, really clear.
That's wonderful to hear. And I think it's that idea of taking the guesswork out of it for people who are so time poor, as you describe, but also setting very clearly that context. So this is the outcome, but this is how it fits into a broader context of what you might be looking to achieve with your students and where you're trying to support them to get to. And it's always brilliant when students come back and reference something that you've done and how it's helped them in a real world application. So that's always the goal, isn't it?
Yeah. And also, like, one of the things that I find makes a really, really good sequence of lessons is when students know where they have come from, particularly if they've missed a lesson, they know what they need to catch up on, but where they're going next. And whilst that may be clear in our heads and we can see these maps, it's also clear for the student. So they understand, okay, well, that feeds into that. And that's important because eventually I'm going to come on to something else. Because sometimes things can be slightly confusing for students. They don't know, well, how is this important? How am I going to apply that? And so sharing things with students, sharing what we achieved in that lesson and how those skills are going to then feed into the next lesson, shows that we're also spiraling within a sequence of lessons.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Again, it's just about making it really, really clear, taking the guesswork out of it and supporting the students to understand exactly where they are on that learning journey themselves and helping them understand this is what you've learned. This is how you can reflect on that and build on to the next thing. If we think about kind of advice that you've got for other educators, what would your top tips be, JT, for any educators who are looking to kind of embed employability skills across departments or even across a whole school?
I would look at what you've got. And I physically like to have lots of paper out and, you know, in front of me and I can see, and look at what you're doing that is absolutely amazing. What makes you stand out? What the students love in terms of their learning, but what makes you stand out as a school, or what stands out in that key stage, almost like your non-negotiables. I definitely think that this is important for our young people. And then look at what we're not teaching or what's missing. So I've been in situations where we've had to build a curriculum from scratch. Now, obviously, we're not going to start designing everything from scratch, but we're going to start to cherry pick. And that's what we did. We started to look at what do we want our young people to leave us with when they leave our school at the age of 16 or 18. And let's go backwards and see what we need to be teaching when. But if you've got something in place already, what will I not let go of? And then asking a really honest question, can I say goodbye to some things? And you have to be quite ruthless in thinking, is this still fit for purpose? It's almost like having a big clear out. And I think that's quite trendy at the moment to have a clear out of all of your stuff. But the same applies with our schoolwork. We're so polite. I don't want to get rid of this because, you know, someone put lots of energy in. Yes, of course. But we also have to think, are we future-proofing our students? The world is moving and changing so quickly that I'm finding that things that I thought were very, very good 5 years ago, I'm discarding. And I'm thinking, is this going to be good enough in 3 years' time? And having that honest conversation with yourself or with your department, and then looking at filling those gaps, going back to that jigsaw puzzle. Can I add something in that I'd be really, really proud of, that in, even if you'd looked at it in a short-term way, in 6 months' time, is this going to be relevant? In a year's time, am I thinking about where the world's going to be? And one of the things that I really like is the social media ready for work lesson. So asking students to look at their social media, looking at whether the student is going to be employment ready. And there's some fantastic little videos in there. And I found that our students have responded very positively because it's immediate. They're starting to think. We talk a lot about their behavior on social media, and you need to be really good for your future employer. But I've never come across a lesson that has been made. We talk about it a lot as teachers, but having a lesson that's ready. But also, there are a couple of other lessons that I really like, and I think that all teachers need to think, do we teach this to our students? Because they really are transferable. There's a lesson on negotiating and persuading. That lesson, I've used that as an assembly. I've used it in a workshop. I've used parts of it in tutor, in form time. Those skills are so important because they talk a lot about good listening. And often our students don't necessarily associate negotiating and persuading with good listening skills, which obviously is part of oracy, which is a huge part of a child's life in school, particularly in lessons. And we want our young people to be really strong in the way they communicate. And going back to a lesson like that, which I feel can be taught by, in English, it could be taught in Learning for Life or a PSHE lesson. I feel like those sort of lessons need to be visible on the curriculum.
Absolutely. It's bringing those things to life in different ways. And that, as you say, negotiating is about more than just kind of working out what you want from your parents, but actually an essential life skill in lots and lots of ways. And this idea of constantly iterating as well as an educator, and thinking about how do we continue to ensure that what we are supporting young people to learn is fit for an ever-changing world. And that's something, as the Life Skills Program, that's on our minds a lot as well. How do you see these schemes of learning that we've created? How would you see these supporting educators to committing to that kind of whole school vision that you've talked about?
Yeah, I think it's important when teachers have CPD opportunities or you've got training days, taking time to just share, this is what we're teaching our young people, and please familiarize yourself or actually walk through, this is what we're teaching them. This is how it's going to be useful for them. But we want you to have an awareness, whether you're teaching it or not. I've always been lucky enough to have just a 20-minute slot during CPD to share with the whole staff or whole staff body what we're doing. And that's the first step. But then also to get teachers together who are teaching a subject. Often you'll find, you know, sometimes 20% of the school are teaching this, but you don't really have time to meet. You're kind of following something and you pick it up. Sometimes you'll look at it before the lesson. Other times you'll grab it, you open it, and you're almost like one slide ahead of the students. But these lessons are logical and they make sense. And as adults, we have life experience. We've got years behind us. But being able to apply something in a very professional way, this does that. And I would say that if you're trying to achieve this whole school, everybody needs to know that it's taking place and when it's taking place. Because when it's done really, really well, people can reference it. You can add it into a conversation in any lesson.
That's brilliant. Really, really useful. Really, really useful. Thank you so much for that, Jyoti. It was a really useful chat and just fascinating to hear your insights. Are there any final key messages that you'd like to leave us with?
Yes, I think that, thank you, Kate. I think that when you know something's really successful with students, when they log in and they try things without you asking and they come to school or they see you, the next time they see you, they say, I did this, or I've added to that, or that was actually really useful. I feel that that shows that it's working. And I would say to any teacher listening or any educator listening, have a go. Even if you use one lesson, it will be so beneficial for your young people.
Absolutely. That really resonates with me. I think the excitement that you see in students when they start to recognize that they already have skills that are of value to the world of work and that they can continue to develop them through the lessons that you're teaching and through the approach that you're taking. It's incredibly rewarding. And with the constantly changing landscape that learners are facing when entering the workplace, this approach across the school is something that can really start to build that confidence and support learners when they're thinking about navigating their pathways too. And at Life Skills, we're really committed to supporting schools on this journey. We're always thinking about ways that we can iterate and constantly ensure that the program is delivering the best it can for the educators and young people who engage with it. And one of the ways, of course, that we've done that is through the schemes of learning that we've been talking about today. So thank you, Jyoti. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, Kate.
The Schemes of Learning are now live on the website. You can find them there. We hope you find them useful. Please let us know. Be in touch. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Kate.